You're listening to a Radio 1 podcast brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Every week on Mastermind 2023, the Women Leaders Special, powered by Nucleus Office Parks. Our main man, Rishi K, introduces you to some dynamic ladies who power their companies. And you're with our guest of the week. 94.3, Radio 1. One World, your station.
Welcome to Mastermind 2023, the Women Leaders Special powered by Nucleus Office Parks. My name is Rishi K. The core idea is to interview dynamic ladies who power their companies, handling crucial roles, driving growth, as well as value for employees and partners. We're going to cover CEOs, marketing heads, HR heads, IT heads, group sales heads, corporate communication heads, CSR leaders, as well as strategy leads. But the caveat is, all of them have to be ladies. There's never been a better time than now for gender diversity and inclusion in India, Inc. And ladies, like the ladies we are covering, are at the forefront of this change and movement. Very, very pleased to welcome Vani Gopalan. She's IT Director, Asia Pac, and India COE Head at Flowserve Corporation. Vani is an experienced IT leader. She drives innovation, transformation, cost savings. She talks about leadership, mentorship, technology, and is a wonderful public speaker and is involved very deeply in business development. Thank you very much for featuring on the show. And how are you doing, Vani?
Thank you, Rishi. First of all, it's a great introduction and I'm kind of overwhelmed with all that you said. Thanks for having me here and I'm doing great. Awesome.
You know, you've built global technology centers from the ground up. What do you think are a few essential qualities required of a manager who's building technology centers?
All right, so that's a fantastic question, right? So building and standing up the center of excellence in itself calls for business transformation. And that's one of the key essentials for building transformation. And that goes without saying that it needs effective leadership skills, right? So when we talk about effective leadership skills, the first few core leadership skills that comes to my mind are being visionary. You need to have the end in the mind because center of excellence is something that you build from scratch. You need to know, like, from a people, process, technology aspect, like what goes in there. And having that strategic mindset becomes even more important because you need to see the bigger picture of the company and where you're taking the company towards, right? And secondly, that's also my favorite thing, the leader who is driving this change has to be an ambassador of change and should be an excellent communicator because this role itself is a cornerstone for building the center. So one has to be in a place to communicate with different levels in the organization. And they need to be in a position to explain what is in it for them with whomever they're discussing. That actually becomes a success ingredient for making this center of excellence growing. And of course, being very collaborative and having that growth mindset and having the passion to bring best out of people and technology well rounds to have the person to lead the center of excellence, if you ask me.
You know, aligning technology initiatives with business objectives, it's always tricky, Vani. How do you manage to ensure that the two are seamlessly integrated for maximum impact as well as maximum value?
See, I'll have to say this, like successful technology and business alignment never happens automatically. So some of the things that I organically do as an IT leader is, number one is build that close relationship with business partners. And that goes a very long way. And I can tell you, this is one of my success mandate that I built. Like always taking that time out from your schedule to discuss and engage with business leaders. And this is actually a very beautiful thing. Like I always feel that IT leaders should be bilingual. When I say this, what I mean is you need to speak the technology language as well as the business language. So sometimes, you know, speaking to business leaders in as simple English as that actually makes immense difference instead of really bringing too many technical terms. So that is something which is very crucial for building that business relationship and getting that alignment between IT and business. You know, building trust is one among the key things that I would say. And trust is not built in a day, right? So it evolves, and you need to have those constant communication, like open communication, providing that clarity to the business teams in terms of building the trust. And let me tell you, like, once trust is built, I think the decision making happens even more faster.
True.
Clarity is there, everything happens quickly, and then you become a very powerful enabler. Because today, you know, there are a lot of discussions, and I think a lot of IT leaders and business leaders would agree with me when I say this. IT is no more an order taker. IT organization has become an order shaper in the world today. And with all the credibility that we're building in partnership with business. And the most important thing, what I would also say, is asking the right questions, right? Because do not assume, like IT leaders, do not assume and just think that this is what the business needs. Understand what their needs are. And it would not hurt for IT leaders to just have the discussion with the different departments and see, like, hey, what are your pain areas and how can we help as IT organization? And that builds a lot of credibility. And the last thing and the most important thing what I would like to highlight is what you can't measure, you can't improve, right? So having those metrics built, metrics and KPIs built for the business, like the system performance and, you know, organizational change metrics, and after, like, you know, the assessments that we do after deploying an ERP solution, or constant communication with the business in terms of surveys and things like that, gives a lot of promising comfort to the business that you are there with them and you are partnering with them, not just for the sake of it, but you're actually there in the real world. And by doing this, I think we as an organization, not only me, but we as an organization, has come a long way in building that credibility and trust with business partners, and thus aligning IT with business objectives.
Very nice. Now, as an IT director, Vani, your responsibilities are more business-centric. They're external-facing because you focus on adopting new technologies and working with vendors, third-party service providers. At the other end of the spectrum, as a COE head, your role is to provide leadership, best practices, support and training for employees, which is a largely internal-facing function. How do you manage to handle both? Because they both call for extremely different skill sets, is what I feel.
See, that's the joy in the entire profession, I can tell you. That's a joy in my day-to-day life as well, because you need to wear different hats. And that is also the essence of leadership, I would call. So the key is, how passionate are you about bringing the best technology and people, right? Because that is what it revolves around. And to mention a few key things, I would like to talk about adaptability. Like, as a leader, you need to be adaptable. You need to be there in terms of adapting the change, at the same time driving the change within the organization. Because the role and the key highlights, or the responsibilities that you mentioned about, is all about change and what role you play in various aspects. And having that innovation mindset, which I call like the leadership mindset or innovation mindset, where you are encouraged to think out of the box. Because like you say, your team is definitely, or the organization that you're leading is definitely going to follow your action than your words. So how are you as a leader in terms of building and fostering that collaboration within the organization, which it also becomes very vital. One of the other things that what I would like to highlight, which has really been a game changer in my life, is collaboration beyond boundaries. Right. So effective leadership is all about, you know, collaborating within the organization and beyond the organization, you know, creating that networking, and also working, you know, working and collaborating with your competitors as well, instead of just thinking their skill sets as a threat, but think that their skill sets as your strength and work with them. And thus you're creating, you know, opportunities for you to learn and grow. So this has not only helped me to evolve as a leader, but it has also helped my organization, the team that is below me or working with me, to become better than before.
That's wonderful. Collaborating with competitors. I'm going to hang on to that thought. Now, how strong do your cybersecurity measures have to be at Flowserve? And the reason I'm asking that is, Vani, there is a view that retail and hospitality need stronger cybersecurity measures in place because their businesses increasingly rely on digital platforms. Does that hold true for Flowserve?
Of course. See, it is imperative to say that cybersecurity is key and important. It's a success mandate for any organization right now, irrespective of what business you are into. And so does with the manufacturing industry as well. And today, with the adoption of robotics, Internet of Things and AI and automation and things like that, you know, it actually creates a lot of opportunities for hackers to really jump in and get information from the organizations like us. And definitely as an organization, we have taken robust initiatives in terms of having the cybersecurity measures, like proactive measures for every aspect of it. See, the manufacturing industry itself is like very fast moving and changing right now. What it means is that a lot of changes are coming up in where, you know, people can access the data like anything in seconds. So it becomes even more key for not only for organization like us, but for any organization to invest a lot in cybersecurity right now, because I see in India and across the globe, this is the emerging skill set right now. And when we talk about hiring cybersecurity skills, that is very niche in the market. And I don't think it's easily available. It's also on high demand. So my recommendation to all the IT leaders and the organization is to invest in cybersecurity. Build your internal knowledge as well, and do not rely only on the partner ecosystem.
Would SMART goals or objectives or KRAs for IT systems be drastically different from those of other departments? If so, how?
See, SMART goals is one aspect of it, and the KRAs are the other aspect of it, in my opinion, right? And SMART goals very much ties into two aspects. One is what you want to build for your department and how it, again, ties back to your organization as well. For any department, maybe it can be, very, very dynamic. But when you talk about KPIs and KRAs are very specific to each individual departments. Like IT, KRAs are very specific because they are very much focused on the business. True. And then again, business KRAs are very much aligned to organization. But in the end, everything comes together, and that's how we build that successful organization, if you ask me.
Yeah, you know, I was talking in light of how Google's OKRs have just gone through the roof.
Absolutely.
Everybody's talking about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone seems to be talking about a hybrid cloud infrastructure. Could you explain ideal hybrid cloud infrastructure to us? And in this day and age, is it absolutely necessary to have one for large corporates?
See, firstly, let me give you a technical concept of cloud computing and cloud infrastructure, because today that's a buzzword, right? Every organization is talking about cloud. Everyone is talking about hybrid infrastructure. And it has become like a competitive edge for everyone to have that. So what is this? Like, what is this hybrid cloud all about, right? Hybrid cloud is a computing environment that connects the company's, private cloud services and the third party public service in a single, setup, where you have the flexibility to run the infrastructure and your application and your workload. This is what it is. But then, is it required? It depends on the scale of the business that you're running into. And it becomes more evident for larger organizations to have your on-prem as well as the public, so that you have a lot of accessibility, you can have the reliability of data, you can have the scalability, and you can have the system, less system redundancy. Right. For example, in the layman terms, if you really think about what this hybrid cloud all about, I just thought like I can give you this example. Think about, you moving to a new house on a different transportation or what. And you have one vehicle that, that takes your whole goods and your carriers and everything that is yours, which you use it on a daily basis or whatever it is. But then you also, hire a carrier for carrying the additional loads and things like that. Right? On a rental basis. But both these things works for you for a particular period of time. But one is your on-prem, which is yours, which you've been using. And the other one is a private one that you take it. Again, that would also serve you. Your work can be faster. Maybe it can be cheaper. It can be reliable and accessible and easy. It's all about the availability to meet the business demands.
It is said that because IT changes constantly, IT professionals must stay up to date on the latest trends, the latest developments. What is your take on that? And also, IT directors often pursue professional development while in the role. And I think that's commendable both from the organization side as well as the individual side. Has that happened with you?
There are definitely two aspects to it. Number one, IT is changing constantly, every day, every minute. That also means that everybody in the organization should also keep themselves updated. And the best thing to do is networking, right? Where I do a lot, I can talk about myself, and I see a lot of technology leaders coming forward and, you know, participating in the virtual as well as in-person networking events where we learn from each other. A lot of solutions that we offer within the IT fraternity, and so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We pick the best practices from each other. And I was also talking about partnering with your competitors' strengths, right? So this is like strengthening your strengths and managing your weaknesses, where you're leveraging other people's skill sets as well. At the same time, you know, it requires an IT professional or the IT leader to also be a thought leader, like where you share the best practices within your department or in your core areas and which you're good at. Personally, like, I have shared a lot of information about leadership, about technology, about change management and stuff like that. And that actually, you know, takes you to places where you get a lot of visibility, exposure, and best, you know, opportunities for you to delve in. And the other thing that you asked about is like, you know, do you need to keep yourself updated in terms of qualifications and things like that? Yes, digital transformation is the new thing that is happening today. And yes, I wanted to keep myself updated with what's happening in the world in terms of IoT, in terms of AI, ML. So I pursued a digital transformation course with IIM Indore. And that actually gave me a complete different perspective about what is really happening in the world, right? In terms of technology, in terms of programs. And that is also keeping myself ready for the changes that's going to come up within the organization or elsewhere. So that, you know, you are learning daily.
Excellent. Your professional growth story, Vani, if you look at it, one key ingredient that made you who you are professionally, I know it's very difficult. Normally people have a glossary of items, but if you could just pick one, the most important one.
I know that's tough, like as you already said, but I can actually think of one thing which is very important for every professional and for me as well. So identifying and overcoming your blind spots, right, has been a very key success factor in my entire career, I can tell you. Like, you know, to advance in your career, what really is essential is identifying what are the key improvement areas, right? And embracing that self-awareness that these are your blind spots, Vani. You know, you need to work on them. And it needs a lot of humility to do it. And also, you know, actively soliciting that feedback and gaining insights on your strengths as well as your opportunities for improvement, right? And working on both of them. Like I always say, strengthening your strengths and managing your weaknesses. Like strengthen what you're already good at and manage things where you're not really good at. One example to pick on is like income tax filing and finance aspects. Like I feel like, you know, I need a lot of help on that area. So I outsource it to my husband. Right?
Smart.
So those things really help, and, you know, seek honest feedback from your colleagues, from people who work with you. And the 360 degree feedback really helps in, you know, making the best out of what you really want to do. And self-reflecting on what changes you're bringing in, like how are you actually improving yourself and things like that. And the most important thing is like continuously having support from mentors and guides. Like, you know, mentorship it's really helped me to elevate myself in every aspect of my professional journey. So I would say this is the success mantra to keep yourself growing.
Lovely. This is not that kind of show, so we don't want to stir up any controversy. So please do not name any organization.
Okay.
But gender biases, if you faced any, generically speaking, please.
Okay, in my particular case, there's not that much of gender bias, I can already tell you. Although I have been in places where I was only women employee or women student or whatever it is with the co-workers and all that. Although what I've seen is I didn't really make that get that as a big issue. Like, you know, I'm the only female employee. And second thing is I also did not want to make myself look very special because I'm women. And I didn't mind, you know, rolling up my sleeves and carrying out stuff for myself, where fixing the computer or maybe carrying the CPU. I didn't feel that, you know, someone had to come and help me or maybe opening up the door for another person who's entering in, men or women. So from a bias standpoint, I wouldn't say I had seen a lot, but I also know how to, I knew how to handle if I had faced any situation like that.
Well said. What's the distance women leaders need to cover to have equal presence in boardrooms? A lot of people still feel that, you know, there is not that equal presence in boardrooms. I want your opinion.
See, I have a slightly different opinion about this whole topic. Like, you know, everyone is talking about empowering women to the board and empowering women to leadership roles and everything. But I can tell you, you know, I've had a privilege of coaching many men in various positions in my leadership journey. And what I've seen firsthand is like, you know, men also need empowerment. Yes, and they also need coaching, they also need training, mentoring, grooming, everything. Because they are not invincibles, no. Yes.
True.
But they are with this societal pressure to maintain that Mr. Perfect well image. Right? And that's why I say, like, you know, empowerment is not gender specific. Like, what are we doing to get or provide those skill sets or empowerment to men as well who are on the board right now? So this is a different aspect altogether, you know, when we talk about getting men or women to board. Because for me, leadership or empowerment is universal. It's not gender specific.
Very well said. Are women leaders more effective than their male counterparts? Or is it a myth?
All right, this is an interesting question, actually. But I would really love to answer this. See, according to me, leadership isn't gender specific, let me tell you. Yes. But as women, we were brought up in a way to nurture, care and take care of our, you know, family members and all those things. So some way or the other, this was a life skill that was taught to us from childhood.
Yes.
So, you know, compassion, you know, and then offer feedback, providing unwavering support and, you know, communicate with feelings and putting the other people first, empathy, or empathizing for others, elevating others, all these things have been part of our, you know, life skill. So this comes very naturally for women. Whereas for men, they have to really work on these skills because of the societal thing and the kind of brought up. I mean, I'm just talking about the general aspect, right? But like I said, we have to work together to make this world better. So there's no two ways about it. So managing our weaknesses and then strengthening our strengths. So take the best practices from each other and work together to make the world a better place, I would say.
Actually, you've segued in nicely into my next question. You already answered half of it.
but
if there's anything left, you can add on. How can men and women complement each other at work for a most productive outcome, was my question. You're right. I mean, you've got to share ideas, skill sets, mentor each other whenever somebody needs mentoring. Other than that, if you could think of anything else.
See, other than that, what I would like to suggest is for the women or girls or whoever is watching this, I would suggest that, you know, we also have a role to play in the men's life, whoever men we have in our life, like maybe our partner, sons or brother or whoever. Let us, you know, take that effort to make them their best versions, right? And provide them that support and also teach them how to express their feelings. Because we are always taught, like I think from the childhood, men are always taught, ki, you're a man, don't cry. Men don't cry. And, you know, that is actually considered as weakness. So men suppress their feeling. If you go, you know, statistically, men are prone to, you know, twice more heart attack than women. Yes? Because they don't actually come forward to share their feelings or they don't share their stress. They don't share anything with anybody. They just go quiet. Right? Because of the system or because of the stereotype expectation, whatever the society has. I mean, I don't know whether if I'm really deviating this topic, but that is how the situation is today. And, you know, I would really request or encourage the women to also support and ask them to, you know, bring up their voice in such a way that where they come and share their feelings openly, where they are trying to be authentic. Right? There's no Mr. Perfect or Miss Perfect in this world. There's nothing called perfect, right? You have to also embrace your imperfections, yet you need to learn to be, you know, best. So let's create that world where we are making, you know, our partners the best versions of themselves. And coming to your question on how can they also complement each other, I think, you know, men and women have to work together at workplace, right? And we have to create that culture where both of them are equally productive. Right. And both of them needs each other in terms of you getting it. And see, we're only talking about gender diversity. There's another diversity that has come in, that is generational diversity today. We have a lot of youngsters. The Gen Z talent has entered the workforce. Yeah. And their thought process is completely different. So I think we have to take a few steps ahead and think about what is next and really get to a place where we are empowering all gender, where we are making sure that everyone is treated equally. And, you know, we are creating that world which is better for everyone and productive.
My last two questions are lifestyle questions. Mm-hmm. What kind of music do you listen to? Any recent music concert or show that you went to that you really enjoyed?
Actually, I start my day with spiritual, you know, hymns. Wow. And spiritual. That's how my day starts. Sometime I just listen to Bollywood and South Indian and, you know, Indo-Western types. But mostly I involve a lot into spiritual, music and concerts.
Any concert that you went to recently that you would like to share with us?
There's one in Chennai, but then it's very spiritual. Like it was by Mr. Gershon John, and it was like a two-hour concert.
Amazing.
Yeah.
What kind of books do you enjoy reading? What's a book or a read that you can suggest to us saying, wow, this is something I read, you guys should read it?
I love reading a lot of leadership books because that's one of my areas of interest as well. And I am highly motivated by Mr. John Maxwell. And I love his leadership lessons and his perspective on leadership. So I've almost read all of his books. The best book what I can refer is the 360-degree leadership that he talks about. At every level, anybody, at whatever discipline you are in, whatever level you are in, you can be a leader. That is a wonderful thing that I can recommend to anyone.
On that positive note, we're going to say bye-bye to Vani Gopalan. She's IT Director Asia Pac and India COE Head at Flowserve Corporation. What a dynamic IT leader, driving innovation, transformation. And it was such a wonderful experience to talk to you. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me here. It was wonderful being on air with you.
And we'll be back next week on Mastermind 2023, the Women Leader Special, powered by Nucleus Office Sparks, with another dynamic lady leader.
That was from Mastermind 2023, the Women Leaders Special, powered by Nucleus Office Parks. 94.3, Radio 1. One World, your station.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.